Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're in the sixth canto, entitled chapter 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura. Now, you don't often see the verse written like that, do you? Okay, well, that's because it's just basically a long string of Sanskrit. It's not in rhyming couplets or... So I'm just going to read through the Sanskrit and then we'll do the word for word together. Om Namaste Stu Bhagavan Narayana Vasudevadi Purusha Mahapurusha Mahanubhava Parama Mangala Parama Kalyana Parama Karunika Kevala Jagara Adhara Lokaikanata Sarveshwar Lakshminata Paramahansa Privraja Kachara Chake Paramanenatma Yogasam Sadina Paribhavita Parishvuta Paramahamsya Dharmeno Gatita Tamakapata Tware Chite Pavrita Atmaloke Swayam Upalabdha Nija Sukhanubhavo Bhavan. So sometimes you can understand the content of the story by the way the Sanskrit is organized. Like you'll see when Arjuna is shown the universal form, there's a change of meter because the consciousness is chained. So therefore, speech is affected. When the heart is affected, so speech is also affected. So what's happening now, up until this point, we've had the traditional pattern of Sanskrit, which is da 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 da, like that. That's the meter. But then here we go into just like a garland, a string, because the demigods are just getting wrapped up in that moment of glorifying Lord Vishnu. So it's just like a stream of glorification of the Lord. They're inspired, and it's just flowing like the Ganga out of the mouth. So there's not that calculated poetry that we traditionally have. You compose it because you are composed. So when we lose composure, we also lack the ability to compose a composition, right? So we'll do the word for word together. Om, O Lord, Namaha, respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Astu, let there be. Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayana, the resort of all living entities. Narayan, Vasudeva, Lord Vasudeva, Sri Krishna. So let's listen. Now we're just going to go through the Sanskrit, but listen carefully to all these different names of the Lord that the devas are glorifying. Adipurusha, the original person. Mahapurusha, the most exalted personality. Maha Anubhava, the supremely opulent. Parama Mangala, the most auspicious. Parama Kalyana, the supreme benediction. Parama Karunika, the supremely merciful. Kevala, changeless. Jagat Adhara, the support of the cosmic manifestation. Loka Ekanata, the only proprietor of all the planetary systems. Sarva Ishwara, the supreme controller. Lakshminata, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Paramahamsa Privrajakai, by the topmost sannyasis, wandering all over the world. Paramena, by supreme. Atma Yoga Samadhina. Absorption in Bhakti Yoga. Paribhavita. Fully purified. Parishputa. And fully manifested. Paramahansya Dharmane. By executing the transcendental process of devotional service. Udghatita. Pushed open. Tamaha. Of illusory existence. Kapata. In which the door. Dware. Existing as the entrance. Chitte. In the mind. Apavrite. Without contamination. Atmaloke. In the spiritual world. Swayam. Personally. Upalabdha. Experiencing. Nija. Personal. Sukha Anubhava. The perception of happiness. Mpavan. Your Lordship. Translation. O Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Narayana. O Vasudeva. Original Person. O Most Exalted Person. Supreme Experience. Welfare Personified. O Supreme Benediction. Supremely Merciful and Changeless. O Support of the Cosmic Manifestation, Sole Proprietor of all Planetary Systems, Master of Everything, and Husband of the Goddess of Fortune, Your Lordship is realized by the topmost sannyasis who wander about the world to preach Krishna consciousness, fully absorbed in Samadhi through Bhakti Yoga. Because their minds are concentrated upon you, they can receive the conception of your personality in their fully purified hearts. When the darkness in their hearts is completely eradicated, you are revealed to them. The transcendental bliss they enjoy is the transcendental form of your Lordship. No one but such persons can realize you. Therefore, we simply offer you our respectful obeisances. Please repeat. O Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Narayana. O Vasudeva. Original Person. O Most Exalted Person. Supreme Experience. Welfare Personified. O Supreme Benediction. Supremely Merciful and Changeless. O Support of the Cosmic Manifestation, Sole Proprietor of all Planetary Systems, Master of Everything, and Husband of the Goddess of Fortune. Your Lordship is realized by the topmost sannyasis who wander about the world to preach Krishna consciousness. On Pariyatra. No, I put that part in. Fully absorbed in the Samadhi through Bhakti Yoga, because their minds are concentrated upon you, they can receive the conception of your personality in their fully purified hearts. When the darkness in their hearts is completely eradicated, and you are revealed to them, the transcendental bliss they enjoy is the transcendental form of your Lordship. No one but such person can realize you. Therefore, we simply offer you our respectful obeisances. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has numerous transcendental names pertaining to different grades of revelation to various grades of devotees and transcendentalists. When he is realized in his impersonal form, he is called the Supreme Brahman. When realized as Paramatma, he is called Antaryami. And when he expands himself in different forms for material creation, he is called Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and Karanadakshayi Vishnu. When he is realized as Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, the Chaturvyuha, who are beyond the three forms of Vishnu, he is Vaikuntha Narayana. Above realization of Narayan is realization of Baladev. And above this realization is Krishna. All these realizations are possible when one engages fully in devotional service. The covered core of one's heart is then completely open to receiving an understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various forms. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So the context for these prayers is that Indra offended his spiritual master, who was a Vaishnav. All the devas are devotees of Lord Vishnu. So it's serious. Of course, the demigods are given some license for material activity because of the seriousness of the service that they do. As a king, there's some license for some sense enjoyment, which might not be appropriate for an ordinary citizen. But still, this was serious. And even more serious was the reaction. This magnificent asura has been created. Monstrous, supremely powerful, and the devas' weapons are being consumed by this demon. So the devas have been chased out, and they're now facing this horrific, monstrous asura who seems to be undefeatable. Now, what makes them particularly scared is because they know they committed a serious aparadh. And Prabhupada has explained that when you offend a devotee, everything is lost. There is nothing too horrible that cannot happen to you when you commit Vaishnava aparadh. It's the most serious thing because the devotees are most dear to Krishna. Krishna loves the cows and he loves the devotees and who are the brahmanas. So to harm a cow or harm a devotee is the most serious thing. So the demigods know, okay, well, we're going to catch it here. This could be very serious for us because we deserve it. So they can't even fall back on, well, Lord Vishnu, he should protect us because we're his servants. So they're very frightened. This is very serious. This is a super excellent asura that has been created. And he's a Vaishnav. So it means he has the power of the Lord behind him. So it's a very bad situation. Now, if you were facing a massive asura and then you saw he was wearing tilak, it would be very confusing. And you'd be a little scared because then you'd think, okay, he's the devotee. What side am I on? How is this working? So they're very scared. And so what they're trying to do now in this shloka is they're trying to appease the Lord. And this in itself is a very interesting thing to meditate on and to discuss. Because the Lord is a person. So that means he can be changed. So this is a very subtle principle. Generally, we see the universe as fixed. We think, well, the demigods committed some mistake. And it's destiny. Material nature or the Lord, Paramatma, will determine what is the correct outcome. Right? You can't cheat providence. Destiny is there. So whatever is being done, then the fates will decide. But that's not necessarily true to the devotee of the Lord. Because just like we can be persuaded, sometimes we may be determined, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to that program. I'm not going to go. It's hot and it's far away and I know the road is very bad. And then some devotee says, Prabhu, please. Please, Prabhu, we really need you. You must come. Give your mercy. You please, you must come. Maharaj, please, you come to this program, please. I'm begging you. Fall on the ground. Okay, all right, I'll do it. Right? One moment you're like, no. No chance. The next moment you're like, I'm going. Because that's the nature, because we're people. People can touch us. We can be transformed through someone else's will. So they're trying to transform Lord Vishnu's intention through glorification. So these prayers are particularly wonderful. Now, we should also take this for ourselves. This is very important, because when we perform devotional service, we may feel like, well, it's pretty much determined. I chant my rounds, I have my spiritual master, I do my service, I'm living in Vrindavan, and it's kind of, I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm leaving it up to Krishna. But we can actually hasten our advancement or growth through communication with the Lords. For us, it's the deities and Prabhupada. So we, every day, you know, it is said that every morning at greeting of the deities, we shouldn't just come, and it's nice to appreciate how beautiful the deities look. That's nice. But we should actually compose a prayer for each one of the deities at greeting of the deities. And if we cannot come up with something, then we say one of the authorized prayers, right? You don't know what to pray to Lord Chaitanya, you're not getting an inspiration in the heart. Anyway, there's so much we can say. Lord Chaitanya, you're very merciful to a very fallen soul. Or you can simply say, Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Parampradayate. Krishna will accept that because it's spoken by his great devotee. So that's fine. So we should speak to the Lord. Prabhupada said one time, he said, every day we should go before the deity and say, give an account of what's going on with us. My dear sir, Prabhupada said, we should speak to the Lord. So what is the point? Because we can change the Lord. If we petition the Lord, if we really go deeply, and that's the thing, is that the demigods are going deeply, because this is very nice. What's coming out is very spiritual. It's gone to bhakti. They're talking about bhakti to get what they want, because they know the Lord is, that he's moved by that. So this discussion of sannyasis traveling the world and how their hearts are opened, and then they see the Lord, the form of the Lord, this is bhakti. This is a very powerful argument to Lord Vishnu. He's going to be affected by that. So if we can give a good argument, if we can sincerely go within and tap into some inspiration and petition Radhashyama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gorni Tai, with words, why they should give us special mercy, make a compelling argument. We call it a case for support in fundraising. A compelling argument. Then they will listen, undoubtedly. We can then perceive, if we're conscious, consciousness is required to make a prayer that affects the Lord, and consciousness is required to see how the Lord has answered the prayer. That is the second component. You cannot simply articulate a powerful prayer. You must also have the ability to see the Lord is answering my prayer. And that is where relationship begins, because that's communication. You make a request and then the Lord answers. And then what's the next step? We then again have to thank my Lord. And then how do we thank? This is the challenge. We thank by taking advantage of the benediction that we've been given by the Lord, which means to become more serious in our Krishna consciousness. So when we pray, we have to be ready. It's not just like a nice poem. We're asking the Lord, and then the Lord will come. And then if we go, well, I'm supposed to pray, so that's why I did it. I'm not really ready to surrender. We have to really get ourselves in and push towards that point. So we're hearing about, in the shloka, the devas are talking about the sannyasis who travel the world. And you'll see that all, you know, that the history of the world, all the great souls who have traveled, they have been sannyasis. Those that have traveled and saved humanity have always been sannyasis. Our Prabhupada and Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, all the great personalities who walked and spread, went on padyatra and spread, gave the mercy. So somehow this is the vehicle that the world is enlightened. It's a sannyasi, or someone who is renounced, becoming detached, to teach this to the world. Because detachment is the path to salvation. And the verse explains this, that it's, you see that all other religious systems in the world, they have an idea of improving the material world. All the religious systems, those that we were raised in, those of us that grew up in the West, So religion, God, is very much about this world. We look at the beautiful things, the beautiful mountains, and we ask He be merciful to us, right? Like there's a part in the New Testament where Jesus said, His followers said that, how can we serve you? How can we recognize you in this world? And then Jesus says that when you clothe someone who had no clothes, you were clothing me. I was there. When you fed someone who had no food, you were feeding me. I was there. So it's a nice message. It's spiritual, but it's still about this world. But the Vedas, they present a dramatic thing, that the truth is something completely out of this world. It is something that has nothing to do with this world. And to get there, you must be callous. You must turn your back on this world. You must say goodbye. You must no longer have an interest. If you want to make this world a better place out of your compassion, it is misplaced compassion. Because the real service to humanity is to give them a means by which they don't come back. And they don't, because the problem is the body. The problem is not that the body is uncomfortable. The problem is you have a body. If you have a big thorn sticking in your arm and someone says, oh, that the way that it's stuck in your arm, it's very awkward. The point is going too deep. Let me move it so it's a little less painful for you. Is that okay? Is that nice? No. One yogini once came to Prabhupada's rooms in Mayapur. She was organizing a conference on world peace. And Prabhupada was in a very kind of feisty mood. And she asked Prabhupada if he would come and attend this melan. And Prabhupada said, if you take some perfume and throw it in the toilet room, it becomes a nice place to stay? And she was shocked. And Prabhupada repeated, if you throw some perfume in the stool room, you like to stay there for a while? It's nice room, you like to stay there? No, we always like to leave the toilet. We're not looking for, Prabhu, can I stay in the toilet? Can I move in? No. Even some perfume is there. It does not become attractive. And she was shocked. But that was Prabhupada very bluntly explaining, that's the situation. Trying to make this world a nice place is like throwing perfume in the stool room. This become our new extension of our apartment. We're going to move there. Make it a guest room maybe. So this, some people may become disturbed by this, but this is because they have no information of the spiritual world. One has to have information, and that is only a descending process. If you are on a desert island, and you try to understand who is God, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Gauranitai Radhe Shyam, you'll figure Krishna out. Prabhupada said that by dint of your own power, you can figure out Brahman. That much you can figure out, like Socrates was Brahman realized. And he did that through the virtue of his powerful brain, his intellect. But Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, with a peacock feather who dances with the gopis and plays a flute, that you'll never come up with on your own. You will never figure that out. In a million billion lifetimes of Brahma, you will never go, Krishna's blue, and he loves the cows. He loves the cows. He's always hugging the cows. We have no, this must be revealed to you. This must be given. It's a gift. And this is very clear from the shloka. It says that it's like a door, a dwara, kapita dwara, that the sannyasi who travels the world, in his heart, he gets spiritual realization, and then a door opens. It's not, you can see that we're trapped, we're locked in this machine, and the door opens and you can leave. It's a window of opportunity. It's not always open. And then you get to go. It's about leaving this place, turning your back on this world. You don't turn around and think about it and think, oh, but it's so nice, you know, can I really leave? No, you have to be convinced. You must go. And that is Krishna consciousness. That is something unique. Is that it is not talking about improving this world. It's something about you must depart. You must go. If you think the material world has any redeeming feature, if you still think in any way that this world is actually could be good, you have to make some adjustment. If I got the proper birth, if I was a proper brahmana, if I had the right parents, if I went to the proper, if I learned the shastra, if I became a Sanskrit scholar, if I wasn't subjected to dirty things in my life, if I got the right training, if I had the right facility, you know, now I can do it. I know I made a mistake in this lifetime, but I'm not going to do that again. You know, I know what I'm going to do. If I get the right partner, the right guru in the right place, then I'll be fine. So this is the mind. The mind is always suggesting, no, this is very nice. This place is okay. You just have to make an adjustment. Why? Because the mind is material. So the mind is always going to propose that you can be happy, because if you leave, there's no more mind. And the mind is like a person too. Mind is, right? It's like your brother, right? That's why Govindadas says, Bhaja Hare Mana. He's preaching to his mind. He's saying, come on, mind, be a devotee. It's like a bhakta program. He's preaching to his mind. Sri Nandanandana, right? And you'll become fearless. He's like, my mind, don't you realize that water is like a Kamala Jalamala, right? You know what a Kamala Jalamala is? Mala means like garland. Jala is water. Kamala is lotus. So it's the water hanging from the leaf of a lotus. Have you ever put water on a lotus leaf? Have you watched what happens when you put water on a lotus leaf? It doesn't stick. The lotus has some special potency that water, it will not become wet. The water just rolls off. So how tenuous is that drop of water on the lotus leaf? And Govindadas is saying, this is life. He's preaching to his mind. So I wanted to share something that talks about this theme. This idea that's talked about in the shloka. Now this was a Bhagavatam class given by Srila Prabhupada in 1975, in July of 75 in Philadelphia. You were there, Prabhu, for that? Yes, we have Vidaleshwar Prabhu, a Prabhupada disciple from Philadelphia. And I know you were there for this lecture. So Prabhupada was there and he was preaching, Ravindra Sarup was there and some of the BI devotees were there, Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj. There's a famous picture Prabhupada took with them. So the class, because there was BI devotees, scientist devotees in the class, Prabhupada, it was about Ajamil. But Prabhupada addresses this idea of the material world being a machine, that you won't succeed if you don't get out of the machine. So the verse, the shloka of the Bhagavatam is, my dear king, the order carriers of Vishnu, upon hearing the chanting of the holy name of their master, Narayana, being offenselessly chanted by Ajamila, who was in great anxiety at the time of his death, immediately arrived on the scene. So this is Prabhupada beginning class. So he was calling his son, Narayan. So the Parshada, Vishnu Parshada, Parshada means associates or attendants, they immediately came. Just like in your city, the police are wandering in their car, and if somebody calls for the police, immediately they come. Similarly, the attendants of Lord Vishnu, they are also wandering throughout the universe and searching out someone who is chanting the holy name of the Lord. So if you chant the holy name, they're very much pleased, and they immediately come. That happened to Ajamil. He did not mean Narayan, may not be, but he was calling his son. But the attendants of Hari, or the order carriers, they took notice of the chanting only. That's all. They did not care to know by Narayan, Ajamil, what he was meaning. No, because they heard Bhartu Nama, their master's name. They immediately appeared. That is clear. So anyone who is chanting the holy name of the Lord, he is taken care of immediately by the attendants of the Supreme Lord, especially at the time of death. Because that is the last moment. The account is taken at the last moment. If you practice Hare Krishna, naturally at the last moment, you will be inclined to chant Hare Krishna. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chadyante kalevaram. It is so nice. If we practice in this life chanting Hare Krishna, then gradually my core of my heart will be cleansed and everything will be manifest. The same thing Prabhupada said in the purport about the core of the heart being purified. My position, my duty, what is God, everything will be manifest. I'll repeat that again. Prabhupada says, by chanting Hare Krishna and the heart is cleansed, everything will be manifest. My position, my duty, what is God, everything. It is so nice. Ceto darpana marginum. Because we are filled up with so many rubbish, dirty things, we cannot understand the science of God. But if you be practiced to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then your heart will be cleansed and you will see things as they are. Ceto darpana marginum. As soon as we're able to see things as they are, then our material bondage is over. Because first of all, I will see. People are making research work about the bodily cells, how they're working, so many things, simply on the body. But as soon as you become cleansed in your heart, then immediately understand, I'm not this body. So what is the use of studying the cells and the atoms and this and that? I am not this body. Immediately, actually, I am not this body. I'm simply wasting my time in studying. The same thing, example, I'm in a car and I'm studying the machine. I forgot my destination, where I have to go. I'm busy studying the car. What is the use? You must know, you have got a good car. You must know where is the destination, where you have to go. That is your business, the business. Of course, it is secondary. If you want to know what is the car, that is secondary. That is not your main business. The main business is how to utilize the car and go to my destination. That is intelligence. So we are fallen in the material condition in different forms. So long we are in the bodily concept, I am this car, that is ignorance. I am not this car, but I have to utilize this car for going to my destination. That is wanted. So I'm not this body, I am spirit soul. My destination is how to go to the spiritual world, how to meet the Supreme Spirit, God, and live with Him in His association. So this life is meant for understanding what is the Supreme Lord, where does He live, what does He do, what is my relationship with Him. This is called Brahma Jigyasa. This is actual education. And I'm given this machine. If we simply study the machine, then what is the use of it? Shastra says the machine is working, and it will work until it is rotten. So you don't bother with the machine. You simply appreciate you've now got a good machine. The dog has got a machine, and the human being has got a machine. Everyone has got a machine, living entity. But Shastra says, this machine should not be utilized like the dog's machine. Nayam deho daha bhajam nri. Everyone has got machine. Even an ant, it has got machine. Because according to his desire, he has been given a body. That is also machine. An elephant has got a machine. I have got a machine. Every one of us, we are spirit soul. And relatively, we have got different machine. So that machine is required from going from here to here. But we should not waste our time simply studying the machine, forgetting our destination. This is human intelligence. God has already given you a type of machine. Now utilize it to go to the destination. Nature is the agent of God. It was carefully made by me, not by me, but by nature. I wanted to do something. That means I need a type of machine. God orders nature. This living entity wants something like this? Give him this machine. So Prakriti, or nature, gives us a different type of machine. I'm not driving the machine, neither have I made the machine. I have been given a gift to work on, to fulfill my desire. This is the position. So Shastra says, now you have got a very good machine. The human form of body is a very good machine. It is very rare. With great difficulty you have got this machine, because we have come through so many machines. The aquatics, the plants, the insects, the trees, the snakes, the reptiles, the birds, and the beasts, for millions and millions of years. Just like you have seen this, the trees standing there, maybe standing 5,000 years. So if you get that machine, you cannot move. You have to stay in one place. So we had to go through this. Foolish people, they do not know. Therefore, this machine is sulabham. Sulabham means very fortunately we have got this machine. And sukalpam, very nicely made this machine. Those who are medical men, they see how nicely it is made, how the nerves are working, the nails are working, the intestines and the heart and everything. A grand machine. Therefore, it is called sukalpam. Very well planned. And what for? Just like a nice boat, well planned. If you've got a nice boat, you get on it and cross over the river or the ocean. Similarly, we're in this material ocean. Life after life, we are struggling. So now we've got a nice boat, this human body, sulabham sudurlabham. And it is especially advantageous because the breeze is very favorable. When you ply on your boat, if the breeze is favorable, pushing on, that is another advantage. Good boat and good breeze. And Guru Karnadharam, and the captain's steering man is Guru. He is giving instruction. Row like this, turn this way, go this way. He is turning everything. So we've got this opportunity. If the boat is very nice, the captain is very nice, the breeze is very favorable, and even accepting or getting this night boat favorable, if we do not cross over the sea of ignorance of material existence, then we're committing suicide. Sa'atmaha. You get all the opportunities and still you remain in the material world. repetition of birth and death, old age and disease. Is that very good? No, that is not good. So we're misled, we're engaged in studying the machine, that's all. Instead of using the machine to cross over the ocean, take advantage. They're very busy studying the machine. Is that good intelligence? No. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it's really nice, inspiring. Prabhupada is very nice how it works, Krishna is giving inspiration and Prabhupada saying so many beautiful things. So this is the difference, that it's such an amazing thing, the material world. The body is so incredible. It's inconceivable. It's a miracle. You know? Everything in this world is wonderful. Sometimes you watch a documentary on television, some nature documentary, and they talk about some butterfly in Africa and the whole hour the program will be on how this butterfly has some amazing habit, how it does this incredible thing, how it predicts the weather and it pretends to be a particular type of thing and turns on a little light and exactly knows how to capture the bug and then eats his dinner. And this is one little bug in Africa. It's fascinating. Fascinating. So many things like this. So many nature programs on tiny, some little fish who does amazing things, can look like a rock and then look like a plant and then look like this. You can become lost. You can spend your life just interested in these wonderful programs. It's fascinating. It's very interesting. You think, wow, that's very interesting. Wow, that's cool. What's next? But Prabhupada is saying that don't worry. The Shastra said, yes, everything is good. You know that. Krishna has made it good. So you have to get out of here. You've been given the best machine. Out of all the animal bodies, then the human body is the best. It's the fanciest. It's the most impressive. You see what it can do. And people seem to be just getting better and better. People are getting smarter and more, just like in the Olympics. The records are being broken. Right? It means people are becoming more athletic, stronger. You know, different... They're making new discoveries in technology and mathematics. So things are growing. In this way, Maya misleads the living entity. So we have to become, as we said, callous to the material world. And that only become, that is why the process of Shravanam Kirtanam is so powerful. We have to hear about the Supreme Lord and we have to expose ourselves to Krishna. Prabhupada explained at the beginning of this class, this quote, that by chanting Hare Krishna, then the heart gradually becomes cleaned. And we may not be able to perceive it, so it's a challenge. Chanting can be a great struggle. We try to hear the holy name and complete your rounds. It's a great battle. That's why there's a relief when we pull down the last bead. Oh, I've got my rounds done. It shouldn't really be like that. It should be kind of sad. But we're not in that position. It's like, oh my God, I've done early today. Oh my God, it's before Guru Puja. You know? Because it's better than having 8 rounds at 8:30 in the evening. Right? Because the quality of japa then is not so good. Right? It's like, Hare Krishna, you're looking, maybe flipping through one of Prabhupada's books. So the process is hearing. And to know the Lord is to love Him. And that's the challenge of devotional service, because the material world is very accessible. We like to talk about gossip, other devotees, different dull material news and affairs. It's very interesting. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what is it? Dana yovana jivana rajasukam nahi nicham anukshana nasaparam jaja gramya kata sukalam vifalam bhaja godramakanana kunjavidam. He says that this dull talking about news and affairs and just what's going on becomes very bitter, and it better you become intoxicated with the nectar of the holy name. But that requires work. It's very hard to pick up the Bhagavatam or to listen to one of Prabhupada's lectures or to pick up our japa. It's a challenge. We're in a disease condition, so it's not sweet. It's hard. Whereas if we hear, oh my God, did you hear what happened to this devotee? Oh, you didn't hear? Oh my God. You don't know? Oh my God, where have you been? Sit down, I will tell you everything. And you're like, maybe I should not tell you. No, no, Prabhu, you can trust me. No, actually, forget it. No, you told me, you have to tell me now. Okay. So we become captivated because hearing about the shortcomings of others is very attractive because then we don't think about our own shortcoming. That's the nature of gossip. When we talk about this guy, this department, everyone is, we can talk very nicely about everyone else's shortcomings. Because it gives pleasure to the heart, because then for that minute that we're talking about someone else's fault, we're not realizing how we're weak and crippled. That's painful. We don't like to fail Prabhupada. It's very painful when we have to look at Prabhupada and look at our own shortcomings, how we're coming short. It's very painful. So gossip is like a drug that kills the pain, because then we can talk about how he's not following Prabhupada, he's not following, oh, they're not following Prabhupada. You know, people can start whole movements about how other people are not following Prabhupada properly. You can have a whole institution and start your own movement, and your philosophy is how other people are not following Prabhupada. It's very nice. You don't have to worry about your own standard, right? You can just talk, you can print magazines that are just publications of all the people not following Prabhupada properly, right? It's so attractive. It's much easier than practicing spirit. It's like, okay, are you practicing? Are you following Prabhupada? 100%? 100%? No? Okay. Well, why don't you put that energy to prosecuting your own failings to Prabhupada? Why you're publicized, you're worried about how everyone else. So this is it's very difficult, because it's painful when we have to talk about our own failings and our sin and our weakness and our pettiness and our smallness. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. So better let's talk about other people's who are great, more weak. Then our weakness does not seem so great when we talk about those with great weakness. Oh, he's such a rascal. That is so obvious. What he's doing is so wrong. I can see that. So there's the challenge, because only by going inward will we connect with the Lord, and then we'll get some juice, and then you can actually be a devotee, because then you don't need the juice of the material world. That bhavasagara rasa, you won't have to drink it. You can drink the prem bhakti ras. So this is what the shloka is saying, that the great souls, the sannyasis, they walk the world, and because they're purified from the holy name, their meditation on the Lord, what is their ecstasy? It says in the shloka, the form of the Lord is revealed, and that's their happiness. And then a door opens up, a gateway, once the form of the Lord is revealed, and one can leave this world. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about this process in Madhurya Kadambini, that one goes through the different stages, you know, anartanivritti, bhava, you know, ruchi, bhava, and then prema. And at the moment of prema, Krishna reveals his form to the devotee. And that's the beginning of the end. It means no more material world for you. Once the form of the Lord, and the devotee is overcome by ecstasy, and he no longer has a taste. It is said that the way that the Lord works, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, he says that the Lord, when the devotee becomes perfected, the Lord reveals himself to that devotee. And he shows first the form. And then the devotee is overwhelmed by the beautiful form of the Lord. He loses consciousness. Then the Lord reveals his fragrance. The devotee smells the aroma of the Lord, which is like the mixture of the blue lotus flower and a guru. It's overwhelming. And the devotee faints in ecstasy. And then the Lord reveals the sound of his voice to the Lord. To the devotee, and he speaks things that are overcome. The devotee becomes completely overwhelmed. Krishna says things like, my dear devotee, you have sacrificed so much for me. You gave up enjoyment. You gave up family. You endured so much difficulty on my behalf. You endured coldness and poverty and suffering. And the Lord starts to glorify his devotee. And then the Lord says, so therefore I've come here to take shelter of your good character. Krishna says to the devotee. And when the devotee hears how the Lord, on top of everything, his natural humility and sweetness, the devotee loses consciousness also, overcome by the wonderfulness of the Lord. And then the devotee is treated to the touch of the Lord. To those that are in dasyaras, in servitorship, Krishna puts his lotus foot on the head of that devotee. And those that are in shakyaras, that are friends with the Lord grasps the hands of that devotee and shakes hands and smiles, and the devotee's overcome. And those that are in vatsalyaras, who love the Lord in parental affection, Krishna, he wipes the tears from the cheeks of that devotee with his lotus hand. And that way the devotee in that bhava gets the touch of the Lord. And to those unfortunate in Madhurya bhava, then Krishna embraces them and kisses them. So this is the end. This is the end of everything. And then so this all sounds pretty good, right? I think we can all agree. This is where we want to go. So then the Lord disappears. He disappears, and you're left in the world. And you're simply wondering, what happened? Was that a dream? But Vishwanath Chakravartipati explains, the devotee thinks, was that a dream? No, I've never had a dream like that. That's not possible. No, he discounts everything. And then he starts to think, then he becomes like a condemned man, that he has to see the Lord again. He's been left. He's alone in this world, this horrible world. And it says that after that point, that friendship, his old friends, become as tasteless as dry grass. Everything loses its flavor. Everything becomes horrible and distasteful. And the devotee's just banging his head with a rock that how he can get back that darshan of the Lord. And the Lord plays like that. And then the Lord, when he least expects it, he'll show himself to the devotee. And then again he disappears. And in that fire, then the devotee is finally purified of all contamination. So that is the destination. And that is the goal. Is that when we may not be on that platform of prema just yet, but we can read about it. You can read about it, and it's so wonderful. It's so attractive. We're so fortunate that we have such liberal souls like Vishwanath Chakravarti to confidentially disclose what happens at the higher realms of these experiences. We're so fortunate to have the books of the great souls. This is the nature of Prabhupada. Generally, the great devotees, they're very confidential and grave, and they don't talk about their internal experiences. But Prabhupada spoke about everything with us. He revealed everything. He would talk about how Krishna was speaking to him, you know? So Prabhupada would convey, you know, confidential things, and he's given. And all the acharyas have conveyed the most confidential, secret things. One devotee was telling me that he was talking to, not him, but a friend of his, went to one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And he started asking certain questions about bhajan, some internal cultivation. So this godbrother said, at one point he stopped and he said, "Are Baba, you want to steal my 80 years of bhajan?" As if to say, like, I've earned this through hard labor, and you want me to divulge? Like, these very common. But the acharyas, our Prabhupada, they would do like that. They would disclose everything. They would give us everything. The most confident. These things are very personal. But a devotee is so kind, he'll show a glimpse into his internal life. Even though devotees, we don't do that. It's confidential. But the devotee, he wants to encourage that it's real. It's real. It's going to happen. Krishna is real. These higher levels of experience are genuine. So they encourage the devotee by saying, yes, this can be experienced. Like Prabhupada would say, that famous interview where Prabhupada in New York, a reporter was saying, how do you run this movement? And he said, Krishna tells me how to run the movement. And then the reporter said, Krishna directly tells you how to do it? Like God is speaking to you? And then Rameshwar Prabhu, he kind of got in. He said, well, because Krishna is a source of intelligence. So Prabhupada is getting intelligent. Prabhupada stopped him. He said, no, Krishna directly speaks to me and tells me what to do. That's a very, very frank, you know. Prabhupada, another time, an Indian reporter said, do you see God? And Prabhupada said, that is a very heavy question. Are you prepared to answer? If I tell you, will you accept what I tell you? He was like, yes, I will accept. Prabhupada said, then you should know I'm seeing God at every moment. So Prabhupada disclosed these things. So by reading the works, hearing Prabhupada, studying his books, hearing the holy name, we will get purified and we'll get a glimpse of Krishna and his wonderful nature, his beauty, his sweetness. And we're so fortunate here in Vrindavan. Mukundadat Prabhu, head pujari, I was interviewing him once for a movie we were filming for Vrindavan.tv. And he said, because this is Prabhupada's home, so these deities are the source. These are the original forms of the Lord. And all the forms of the deities all over the world are expansions of Krishna, Balaram, Radha, Shyama, Sundar, and Gaur Nitai. Does that sound bona fide? Yes. So these deities are like nothing else. I don't have to tell you. They're beyond exquisite. Even a fool and a dullard like myself can come before them and feel something is special, something wonderful. So that is the secret, just simply coming before the deities, drinking in their exquisite, unparalleled beauty, and offering some communication, some gratitude, some thanks, sharing some struggle that we're going in, and asking for some support. And please show yourself to me. I need to know you. We can pray like that. I need to know you because I'm so interested in the things of this world. I'm so fascinated by the dry, tasteless, dry cracker without water crunching that I'm doing here and thinking it's a lovely, delicious, juicy meal. So please, give me some taste. Give me some attraction. So would anyone like to share anything further? Ask a question? Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, I also, when I went through the translation, there are some things that are not...
That is one, and the second one also known on the... It is strictly in the institution to one side. It is so fascinating to the priest, and it is strictly in the institution to one side. That one has to be a sannyasin, and it's not to be a sannyasin, but you can actually understand, you can... have inspiration of God, or you can have well in the past.
Well, that's Prabhupada explains sannyas is not simply the dress. And this is explained in the Gita. It's not simply the dress. Sannyas is a consciousness. You can be a great sannyasi in any form of life, any condition, in any ashram, like we have brahmachari grihasthas. But that being said, at the same time, still, it is also encouraged that you take the order of sannyas and separate yourself from wife and children. Now, can you live with wife and children in the spirit of sannyas? Yes, but Shastra says that's not enough. You actually have to detach yourself. Confirmed. And someone may say, you know, what's the praman? Because this discussion is there, because if my wife is a devotee, my children are devotees, you know, can't I, you know, what's the harm? So for me, it's the evidence is that in the 11th canto, in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna says to Uddhava that, so very soon I'm leaving, and I would like you, and you'll be leaving too. It'll be, so now, in preparation for leaving, you separate yourself from your close personal friends. Right? Now, what do you think is the caliber of the friends of Uddhava in Dwarka? You think these are just some rascal guys he played cards with when he was a kid and, you know, they're just like, want to talk about cinema films and... No. These are exalted Pakka Uttama Vaishnavs, Siddha Purushas. These are like the best association. But Krishna's saying, now you even pull yourself back from your close friends, and it's time to remember me alone. Because at the time of death, that is what Krishna advises. He doesn't say, remember the devotees of the Lord. That helps, but he says, remember me. In the same way, devotional service is a cross between external and internal paramatma. Prabhupada said it's parallel lines. We get advice externally from the guru and the Vaishnavas and the Shastra, and internally from Supersoul. It's both. But in the end, we go within and we see the Lord. And that's what today's verse says, is that when the heart is purified, within the Lord appears. It is said in Shastra that when the Lord, first he shows himself in the heart and the mind, then he appears in front of you. So that's why sannyas is cultivated. Prabhupada said a glorious death for a man is if he dies when his wife and children don't know the moment of his death. That's in Bhagavatam. So that is there. Shastra is there. We shouldn't be sentimental. Everyone's a Vaishnava. We can become purified by the association of devotee women and children. Definitely. They're all great souls. But even Uddhava's friends, the men, the advanced devotees, he's saying, you pull away. You start to remember me alone. So yes, sannyas is essential. It's required. But ultimately, we have to understand it's not just the dress. Dress is easy. Bamboo is not very expensive, is it? Anyone else? Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your attending class and giving us so fast entering better than the group. My question to Prabhuji is that we all know, in Shastra we say that we should do the petition to the Lord. But generally, like the practice of devotee, we only ask the material offerings from the Lord or material from the Lord. Why should we pray that, please, my petition is that, make my life comfortable, give me this, give me that. Lord is within the heart, he knows everything. So why should we petition that, give me this? Why should we do that, give me this? This is really as the writer said, okay, we pray, offer the prayers. He knows the Lord, he knows what we want. But if I ask, definitely we ask, the material comforts, material comfort.
Well, the advice that one should, those are for the, Sakama devotees. It's advised that it's better to ask Krishna for something than to approach the other devas. But for a devotee, when we speak of addressing the deities, that's not for material things. We should not ask Radhashyama Sundar and Krishna Balaram for a comfortable situation. That's not the purpose. Of course, if you are completely distracted in your devotional life and it's for the purpose of being peaceful, then you can do. But what we're really looking for is we're looking for a spiritual experience. We are, show yourself to me, O Lord. Give me some taste. Make me Krishna conscious. That is what we petition the Lord for. Actually, one devotee pointed out that all the prayers in the scripture, you're always asking for something. Even, the Jagannath Astakam. I'm drowning in an ocean of sorrow and almost like a dead man. Uplift me and protect me with your nectarian vision. Or Damodar Astakam, this vision of Krishna's face, which has become red like bimba fruit due to Mother Yasoda just kissing him to death with his beautiful black curly hair and his little face red because Mother Yasoda's just kissed him to death. That's so beautiful please let that remain in my mind. So it's also a request, but it's totally bona fide. We can ask that. Krishna doesn't mind that. It's like if you say in the spiritual world, Krishna, will you sit next to me and have lunch today? That's not Maya. That's not selfishness. Krishna likes that. That's the goal. We're meant to ask, Krishna, come closer, please help me become your devotee. That's the petitioning that we want. And you'll see all the prayers of all the great devotees. Prabhupada said that, personally, I have no hope for direct service in the coming crores of my lifetime. He said, but always let me remember that I'm a tiny little servant of the servant of the servant, dust at the feet of the Lord realized by my divine master. So we're always requesting. Kripa Koro, Kripa Koro. Yes, Prabhu? Can we?
Question, we hear in Kali Yuga is one of these
five writers that are within. So how do we understand the extreme importance of that in light of this principle?
Well, everything is used in the service of Lord Krishna becomes spiritualized. That's the essence. We can't lose sight of that. Like, we may feel, okay, sannyas, the formality, the regulation, the acceptance, like we have the sannyas committee, and there's, you know, different rules and regulations, and that's okay. But the essence of sannyas is renunciation. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he didn't really worry too much about who he took sannyas from. He took sannyas from a Mayavadi. Not only that, it wasn't even like the highest Mayavadi sannyasi you could take sannyas from. It wasn't even like a very good one. That's why Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, what kind of sannyasi is, oh, this is like a, I will give them sannyas from the highest level, right? Like, I think he was like Bharati or something, or, you know, Puri, he should get Puri, you know? So that's the evidence. Lord Chaitanya is teaching by example. It's really not so important, the external regulation. But when a devotee takes sannyas, the significance is that he's renouncing for the pleasure of Krishna. He's attracted to Krishna, and he knows the material world is temporary and full of misery. So he gives it up. That's its significance. Sannyas, the actual acceptance of the danda in that is secondary. It's secondary. That's why the Goswamis, they didn't accept sannyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't accept it. But they were the greatest sannyasis. But still, our teachers in the Shastra explain that the formality should be accepted. But it's a formality. Does that help? Okay, so we're over time. Thank you very much for your kind listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Gauranga!